gentlemen, welcome to the Vincennes City Council. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for prayer?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will now have the roll call.
Mr. Brink?
Here.
Vice President Brown?
Councilman Brown is at a state poultry convention, as is the mayor, in recognition of one of the largest poultry investments in the nation right here in our community, so those are excused.
President Chapman?
Here.
Mr. Clark?
Here.
Ms. Rose?
Here.
Mr. Salters?
Here.
Mr. Sebring?
Here.
I would, before we have the adoption of the agenda, ask for a motion to add an item.
I make a motion to deny.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion of a Councilmember Rose, seconded by Councilmember Sebring, to add Resolution 1-2014 to the agenda. I think we can do that by voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. We're now ready for the adoption of the agenda.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Rose, seconded by Councilmember Sebring to adopt the agenda.
Sorry, just taking notes. Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown? Never mind. Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, ready for the approval of the minutes.
Make a motion.
Okay, a motion made by Councilmember Rose, seconded by Councilmember Clark to approve the minutes.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, the has been approved. Are there any petitions, memorials, or remonstrances tonight? I do see we have some scouts in the audience. Would What scout troop do we have?
203.
Scout Troop 203. Well, welcome to the Vincennes City Council. And if you have any questions after the meeting, please come up. We'll be glad to try to answer those. Yes.
These young men
Well, very good. We're delighted to have you here. And like I say, if you have any questions when the meeting's over, please feel free to ask any of us. Committee reports. Any committee chairs or liaison members have any reports tonight?
Yes, Mr. Chapman. I'd like to report that the Tourism Committee.
Any other reports?
We will have probably the end of this month. We'll have our solid waste meeting, as always. I did go to a meeting today, sort of step in with the cemetery board down at the cemetery, and I was enlightened on a few things, you know, since that's where we're going to branch now. But anyway, I was there throughout the afternoon, and very enlightening, and I think probably each council member has a part to go to it. Find out what's going on with the other people. They know what we do, or they think they do, and we think we know what they do, but we don't. So it's very enlightening. So I was kind of happy to be there today. I was there at the 3 o'clock meeting at the cemetery. So that's about the gist of it there.
Okay, thank you. I would report I attended the meeting of the Knox County Development Corporation, and at the meeting the City Council and the County Council as well received the gratitude of KCDC for our early advancement of the money that we provide to support that organization. Certainly helps them with cash flow, and we're glad to do that. Also, as you may have read in the paper, our unemployment rate has now fallen to the lowest rate it has been since May of 2008. So I think that is due to work of KCDC and everyone in government and the private sector working together to create employment opportunities. So certainly that is good news, and hope we continue that throughout this year. Do we have any report from city officers? See our police chief coming forward.
Chief Dusty Luking, Vincent's Police Department. I was asked today, and I, you know, I on a regular basis at the Board of Works meeting, kind of give report to Board of Works about the goings on at the department, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time today just to update you all on what our manpower is and what's going on in the department right now. we are currently still at 37 officers. I will tell you that today was the last working day for Greg Zebart, and quite an accomplishment. As of February 21st of this year, he was on for 33 years. We had our department meeting today, and you know, I had by show of hands how many officers on the department hadn't reached their 33rd birthday yet, and there were several. So you know, he had quite a lengthy service time there. So at any rate, we will be losing him on the 21st of February. Officially, he will come off the books. And that would leave us at 36 officers. We do have and have already been given a name from our merit board to start sending through the perf process, and we look to hire them just as soon as possible and start working them through the training program. Out of those 36 officers, the way that breaks down for the department, three officers are considered admin position, that being myself, Assistant Chief Johnson, and John McKinnon, who handles the operations at the department, things such as training, the fleet management, and that type of duty. We have four officers that sit in the detective department, and obviously the responsibilities of the detectives are they handle the more serious higher felony type crimes that may occur in the city, as well as you know, take care of proactive approach towards local narcotic situations, things of that nature. We do as well have Major Dennis Holt, who has for many years been assigned to the Joint Task Force with the Drug Enforcement Agency, so he does work. He is actually considered a deputy DEA agent, but he is also as well still a major with the Vincennes Police Department. And he's been in that capacity for many years, and that has to do with our equitable sharing agreement that we have with them. As far as patrol officers, what we currently stay at and what we consider to be full on the three shifts is 9 on each shift, which is takes us up to 35 out of our 36 officers. The additional officer, which in this case is Barbara Helderman, was placed into the school corporation a couple months back. And so that was a position that during the last administration, at some point it was decided that our department would no longer provide the schools with a school liaison officer. And from that time, Randy Reinhart, who is a retired officer with our department, was hired and is still currently an employee of the Vincennes Community School Corporation. He is given police powers through our department, just like a reserve would be. And again, he works the schedule that the school works. Often in the summer times, he follows the school schedule, and he is their employee, whereas Barbara Helderman, B.J. Helderman, she is an active officer with our department, and her duties throughout the summer and whenever school is not in session are just the same as a patrol officer on the ship. So, you know, again, I know there had been some questions at one point or another about that was a new move for BJ to go back into the schools. And the reason, you know, obviously being, in my opinion, we had had a liaison officer in the schools as long as I can remember. When I was in school, before I was in school, there we always had that active officer that was present in the schools that worked as a liaison between the two, and it's a very necessary position. I felt like it was very important for us to put that active officer back into that position now more than ever with the times that we're having and keeping our schools safe. I will tell you that we are currently still speaking with the schools in regards to their grant funding that they got about the idea of maybe what their position is on how many people they want to keep in the schools. Not our people necessarily, but we're in a little bit different situation in Vincennes than some of the other school corporations or areas around, where we have many campuses with the neighborhood school situation. Obviously, we can't put an officer in every single school. So what we're doing to curb that at the current time, Randy Reinhart is responsible for the high school, middle school primarily. Barbara Helderman floats throughout the grade schools in the city. In addition to that, Barbara Helderman, again, being our employee, she also makes contacts with the Vincennes Catholic schools. We as well have our officers on the shift as far as day shift, evening shift, both shifts, every single school in the city, every single day, they make some contact at that school. They're required to get out of their car, go in, make contact either with the secretary or inside the school, make a walkthrough, and it's at different times throughout the day. And again, that's just to increase the safety. And in our situation, much like a lot of other cities that have neighborhood schools, you know, it's just not possible to put a body 24/7 in those schools. So this is kind of our way of adapting to do that to make sure we have coverage. But we are talking with Mr. Parsley about, you know, what we could do to better, you know, serve and make sure that everything is in place. I don't know if there's any questions about.
If I'm on or offer. Okay, I'm on now. First of all, I love the fact that Officer Hellerman is in the schools, in the elementary schools, especially in light of Friday,
sure.
The situation that Tecumseh Harrison found itself in. This isn't the first time Tecumseh this year has had a situation. So I definitely applaud that fact. My only concern is that, or thought process would be that we would add another police officer to the rotation and go from 37 to 38. My continued thought process is that you would be able to utilize BJ in the summertime and when school's not out to patrol those areas where kids hang out, the beach, the parks, everywhere and anywhere in between, and do some really great community policing and showcase that police department in a different light for those kids.
That's what they're actually doing right now, and that's what we always
right.
utilized our liaison as. During the last administration, when that was removed, for instance, the YES program, Youth Experiencing Summer, that was the thing that,
right.
that you know, we didn't have necessarily that officer in that capacity anymore, and that's what we're working towards getting back to through putting her back in the school. And during the summertime, you know, she's been involved in DARE. She has that juvenile contact, mm-hmm. and that's what we hope to accomplish. As far as adding another... you know, another officer. I mean, I'd be silly if I stood up here and said, no, we don't need anybody else. I can tell you that we're understaffed, as many agencies are. But I also am very conscious and aware of the fact that amongst the community, we've had to work together, not just my department, but with the other departments to make sure that everybody is staying within our budget or within what's possible. Could I use more people? Absolutely, there's no question. The more people that I have, the more feet I can put on the street or bodies out in the car to do specialized things like, you know, children's programs or local narcotics, beef up in local narcotics investigations. But, you know, again, if the money is there and if that is possible, it would absolutely be great. But I'm also very aware and have talked about through the last couple budget cycles and about, you know, the situation we're in. And
yeah, I should have probably preferenced that with, it won't happen this year.
Sure.
Because we're already
sure.
in that budget cycle.
Sure.
But going forward, I think that would be, and again, I think it's wonderful that you got that officer back into those elementary schools. That is, it's a great program. I have heard nothing but wonderful, wonderful stuff from the administration and some other teachers in the buildings. And they love her being in there because she
sure.
works great with those kids. But I don't want to shortchange you either.
Sure. And I appreciate the thought. And definitely, you know, again, for a long time, I mean, we could definitely always use more feet on the street. It allows you to focus and specialize more on things that need to be attended to. At this point, you know, we're covering our shifts. We've got 9 on each of our shift. Ultimately, you know, it would be great to have more bodies, but if I don't know
sure.
if that's ever going to be a situation that's going to be attainable or not.
So
just to be sure I understand, given the budget you have,
yes.
given the budget you have,
yes,
it is your judgment that using one of those officers in this school liaison position, which is a return to what we had traditionally done,
mm-hmm.
it's your judgment that that's a good use of
it is absolutely a no-brainer. I don't think anyone in this room can think of anything more precious to them than their children or their
exactly.
grandchildren and their safety. And it has always been done in the past, and we've made do, and there is no question that it has to be done.
All right.
Okay.
Any
All right.
other questions? Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank you.
That. One other item. I have distributed to council a timeline, a proposed timeline, rather, of the Vincennes Redevelopment Commission. This is in reference to what I'm sure you've heard about in the news media, a proposal that is being discussed to expand the TIF district. And so this is a timeline. If, as you read this, if the Redevelopment Commission does this on this date, then that sets in motion the potential for us to get involved at a future date. So the mayor wanted us to have this so we wouldn't be surprised. And so if you have any questions about that, probably raise it at the next meeting when the mayor's here. Are there any other reports from city officers? Seeing none, we'll move ahead to old business. Ordinance 3-2014 to authorize payment into the Law Enforcement Education Fund. We had first reading on January 27th, so we're ready for second reading.
Make a motion to have second reading on Ordinance 3-2014.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Rose, a second by Councilmember Sebring. On Ordinance 3-2014.
Ordinance 3-2014, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes authorizing payment to the Law Enforcement Education Fund 1-3-2. It's authorized, then there's no place to
okay. Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 3-2014 adopted on second reading by a vote of 6-0. Ready for third reading.
Make a motion to have third and final reading on Ordinance 3-2014.
Second.
Okay, a motion made by Councilmember Rose, second by Councilmember Clark for third reading of Ordinance 3-2014.
Ordinance 3-2014, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, authorizing payment to the Law Enforcement Education Fund, Section 1, 2, and 3.
Discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 3-2014 has been adopted by a vote of 6-0. Moving ahead to Ordinance 4-2014, additional appropriation from EDIT to pay BLA and Crow Horwath. Ready for a second reading. First reading was adopted on January 27th.
Make a motion to have second reading on 4-2014.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Rose, second by Councilmember Clark for second reading of Ordinance 4-2014.
Ordinance 4-2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3, payment to BLA and Pro Horwath, $1,279.94, subject to Council's public hearing, which was conducted at 5:45.
Okay, and let the record show that at that public hearing, no one spoke for or against the ordinance. Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 4-2014 adopted on second reading by a vote of 6-0. Ready for a third reading.
Make a motion to have third and final reading on Ordinance 4-2014.
Second.
Okay, a motion made by Councilmember Rose, second by Councilmember Sebring for a third reading of Ordinance 4-2014.
Ordinance 4-2014, additional appropriation ordinance from EDIT, accounts stated in Section 1, 2, and 3.
Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 4-2014 has been adopted third reading by a vote of 6-0. Moving ahead to new business, we're delighted to have with us this evening the Knox County Assessor, Kathy Lane, and I have invited her to speak to us tonight on a topic of assessed valuation. There's been some news articles about this topic, and I thought it would be of value to the council and to the general public as well to find out what our situation is and why we are where we are. So welcome, and look forward to your report.
Thank you so much for letting me speak. I have some handouts that I'm going to have Amy give around so that as I go through everything, you'll kind of know where I'm pulling my numbers from, and I'll kind of quote these so that you can see exactly what I'm looking at. I appreciate you letting me come here and talk to you. The assessed valuation is a very tricky thing. It's not easily understood, big numbers. So basically, I'm going to kind of go through the handout real quick, and if you want to ask me questions at any time, feel free to do so if you have any concerns about anything. The first page that I have included here, it talks about the assessed value as it relates to the county. The one thing I wanted you to notice in that, it breaks it down by property class code and dollar amount. The property class code, the first one is agricultural. If you noticed, our assessed value went up in the county considerably due to our agricultural base. That has everything to do with state mandated cost associated with agricultural land. That's all that was. So overall in the county, we saw an increase of about 1.3%. Residential went down countywide as it did in every taxing district. The second page is City 1 directly. Where it says current year, that's talking about 13 pay 14, and then previous year would have been last year, so 12 pay 13. But so you can see we don't have any ag in the city. So where we're going to have all our values going to be in our commercial and our residential. As you notice, we see residential right down middle of the page. We've lost about 3.64% of our assessed value in the residential. A lot of that loss is due to depreciation, loss of structures within the district, deterioration of buildings, appeals, and VU and the hospital. So that's pretty much directly what all that loss is. And in the end, it comes down to a loss of about 2.91% within that 022 taxing district, which is Vincennes City 1. City 2, which is our next page, kind of has the same thing going, repetitive theme here. Same thing, though. We've got residential goes down quite a bit in this district, 5.79%. Although they didn't see as much total loss as we saw in City 1, City 2 still had quite a bit of loss in assessed value. And of course, once again, that's appeals. That's properties being taken off the tax rolls. That's depreciation. Things do depreciate down. I don't just make up the numbers. I have to work within the boundaries of the state, the guidelines they give me as well. So overall, you can see, well, the city's lost about 3% in assessed value. Now, 3% doesn't sound like a lot, but 3% of a big number is still a lot of money. So that's why I think we saw such a dramatic decrease in the assessed valuation. Although you must realize when I'm dealing with numbers, my numbers are gross numbers, not net numbers. I roll my numbers to the auditor, mine are gross. Once they go to the auditor, they become the net. She's gonna apply exemptions, homesteads, abatements. She's gonna categorize everything by tax district. So within, district 022 and 027, you know, she's gonna decide how much is gonna go to the school, how much is gonna go to the fire department, how much is the library fund. So a lot of times the numbers that I see aren't really the same numbers you see, because you're seeing it broke down within your taxing entities. I don't always see those numbers. But on the next page, I went ahead and I included a copy of the county tax rates, because I want to talk for a little bit about the tax caps and what those do. I kind of highlighted City 1 and City 2 for you, because as you can see, City 1 and City 2 by far have the highest tax rates of anyone within the county. You are statutorily capped, private owners, to some degree. So homestead properties, 1%, residential or residential rentals, and agricultural land, 2%, commercial properties, 3%. Personal property taxes do not see a cap. So personal property payers pay the full amount you see associated there with whatever that district is. So anytime you have any degree of loss of assessed value from the city, it makes more of a difference to the city of Vincennes than to anyone else. Because you can see as you look at everyone else's taxes rate, they have a lot of room to just raise their rates to offset $17 million in loss. The city of Vincennes does not have that luxury. When we lose money in personal property, we lose money in real property, that's really just a loss. You really can't regain that. You know, with all the talks about the cuts in personal property within the city of Vincennes makes up about 9% of your assessed value. Well, you can't stand to have a cut of 9% to your assessed value. The most recent law that I've heard has to do with cutting it, say, $25,000 and below. Well, that's still quite a bit of dollars. I mean, that's half of all the returns in the city of Vincennes. So that's half of all your returns. That's still about $3 million. You can't cut $3 million. You won't be able to do that. So I'm not sure what the state is going to decide to totally do on that, but that's not looking good if that's the route they go. I also wanted to mention abatements at this time. The abatements that are given by your taxing authority, once a year the people that you give abatements to should be coming in and discussing with you what they've done to earn their abatement. Abatements are a gift, they're not a right. You can take people's abatements away at any time. If they say that they're bringing new jobs to the city and they don't do that, they shouldn't get their abatement. We want all the new business we can, but if they're not living up to their end of the bargain, you should take away their abatements. Because when it comes to my office, you've already signed off on it. All I do is calculate how much it is. I don't get to decide whether or not they're worthy of that abatement. And I will tell you, a lot of times, people do not live up to their abatement agreements. So I would suggest in the future, you may want to take a good look at those and maybe even think about alternative ways to give out abatements, maybe not 10-year, maybe give 5-year, maybe set dollar amounts. Kohl's is a prime example. I'm not sure who was here when Kohl's came before the city and or the county for that, but they put a dollar amount limit on how much Kohl's was going to get. They had a 7-year abatement. In 3 years, they used up all their abatement money. The fourth year, they were paying taxes. So that's kind of a good thing. It kind of keeps a good check. You know how much you're wanting to give them. So, of course, you see that the tax caps affect the city more than anyone else. If you notice, if you go to Bicknell 012 district, if you look at last year's tax rate versus this year's tax rate, their tax rate almost doubled. So everyone came in from Bicknell wanting to know, what on earth happened to my taxes? Look at how much I'm paying in taxes. My assessment didn't change, but their tax rate did. So, you know, they were paying 1.67, so that's businesses included. So businesses that should have been capped at 3%, they were only paying 1.67. The very next year, there they were paying, I would always say to them, welcome to Vincennes City taxes. When they would complain to me, that's what I'd say. I suppose that's not really funny, but that really is the situation we're in. They have a lot more room out in the county to raise up their rates. They're not as affected by loss of business and loss of personal property the way the city is. I don't know that the city could really stand much more loss in your assessed value, whether it be from properties coming off the tax rolls, deterioration of your properties, fires, removal of buildings, loss of personal property. I don't think the city can really afford to have any more of that. There were quite a few people that left the city and moved out into a different taxing district. Last year, that was Dr. Gregg. He moved his practice out of the city to a different taxing district. So all his personal property and a lot of the value associated with his practice went to a new taxing district. Same with Dr. Herman. He moved his dental business kind of to the outskirts. So he's in a new taxing district. There's a lot of money in personal property and value associated with the buildings they occupy when they move to a different taxing district. It's cheaper where they are, and that's great. They're still close, but they are out of your taxing district into a new taxing district. So the township welcomed them, but we did lose it in the city.
Dr. Herman.
Yes.
Now you're talking about the young Herman or the Dr. Dan Herman?
The dentist, yes, Eric.
Well, that's two. That's Lynn and his, mm-hmm. her brother.
But that practice specifically, yeah. So the next page I have is talks about the RDC, because there's been a lot of discussion about this because there was so much loss of assessed value this year. Approximately, as you can see, this is dated January 30th. The two reps from the RDC came to talk to the current auditor, Mindy and I, and asked us if we could help them get some of this corrected. So they handed us this printout, and this was all the properties that they had realized over the last several years were not being properly allocated within the TIF zone. So we met with Wayne Toman at that time and another rep from Kemper, and we discussed all the items listed on here. They knew that these items weren't being properly allocated, so they asked the auditor's office. Sharon had already moved to the other side, so it was Mindy's office at that time. It was right when Mindy took office. Sharon had just left. They asked her to kind of get this fixed. So when we did that and allocated everything that should have been in there all along from this list into the TIF, that caused a loss of about $17 million. Now, it's not really a loss in assessed value. It's there, but it's not in your pool of money anymore. It's in their pool of money. So, but it is a loss to you, your taxing entity, because you don't have the ability to use that as part of your assessed valuation anymore. So we do have these meetings quite a bit with the tax-based groups. So the mayor meets, we meet with the library, we meet with the fire department, we meet with the schools. And in there, we're talking about the assessed value, how it's affecting them, how they're affecting their tax rate and so forth. So when they realized they were losing so much money, they called me and they asked me, what could I explain as far as loss in AV? Well, it wasn't really lost in AV as far as I could see it. It was lost, it was kind of a redistribution. It wasn't money you had anymore. It's still there, it's just not in a pool you can use. So the very last page kind of talks about that TIF zone, and that kind of explains the difference. So I have 022, 023, 024, and 027 districts there. Of course, net AV is gross AV, as I roll it. And then we've got the personal property tax minus what is captured through the TIF zone. So as you notice, that's the first thing that stood out to us, is I noticed 1 year it was 40 million, the next year 57. So that was $17 million right there. And it wasn't that it wasn't in our assessed value, it just wasn't available to you in your pool of money anymore to use to be taxed. It's now, because, you know, I deal with the gross numbers. I don't really deal with the net. You know, I roll it to them, they do what they do to it, and then they roll it onto the state and apply everybody's budgets to that. So within, you know, each of that, you've got all those other taxing entities that have to get money from that. So as far as I could see, I didn't really see a loss in AV, but I could certainly see what their concern was, because it was a redistribution of who's actually getting to allocate that money, who's using that money, because you were no longer able to use it as you had before. So I kind of included these with it so that, you know, maybe this would kind of help you a little bit understand some of it, and I'm sure you have questions. I could talk for a long time, but I'm going to refrain from doing so. So does anyone have any questions about? Yes.
I want you to look into your, if it's on or not. I want you to look into your crystal ball. The mayor is proposing to us a new TIF zone out on Willow Street. If we pass that area TIF zone, how much could we look to lose, the city lose, and the RDC gain?
Well, the thing about that is anything that is already there will stay there. The only thing you lose is new development.
Right.
So say someone comes in, that won't be money you'll be able to, you know, someone puts in a little chain store or something. That will be money you will not have within the city, but that will be money that they can use. But what you already had will still stay within your availability.
Okay. So what's there stays, new comes in.
Correct.
That's for redevelopment areas.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I don't think you'll necessarily lose anything, but you won't gain anything from their develop it, at least not up front.
In a nutshell, what you're saying is correcting the errors of the past in terms of the allocation in the TIF district, those taxes. Correcting those errors has hit our general fund. We were the beneficiaries of the error in the past.
It has hit
but
you.
Now that it's been corrected.
Incredibly hard.
The TIF district is the beneficiary, and we're going to pay the.
Correct.
Pay the cost.
And there was a lot of, you know, we used to have the township office, and then we had the county office at, you know, at the assessor's office. In the past, when people would file personal property returns, let's say, for instance, it's Coca-Cola. I'm just going to pick them out of the blue. They would have whatever, you know, $100,000 in assessed valuation. But that $100,000 was supposed to go to, you know, part of Vigo Central, it was supposed to go to South Knox, it was supposed to go to 10 taxing entities. We had found that a lot of people that were filing multiple returns, all the money was being kept in the city assessed valuation when really it was supposed to go to all these other taxing entities. This was the year we fixed all that too. So that was a decline in assessed value. Now that didn't make $17 million worth of difference. But I mean, every, you know, you can't afford to lose anything. Every little bit hurts. I don't see this continual decline. We kind of ride the line in Vincennes and Knox County. We do need to do something to protect the tax base we have. I don't know what the solution is to that, but we have to do something to protect what we have. We really can't afford to lose anything else. I mean, I'm sure you're operating on shoestring budget as it is. The assessed value seems to be pretty steady. I'm looking into next year already. But then again, people still have a little bit of time to file appeals. There's times for things to come off the tax rolls. We've had a couple fires. You know, those are a loss in value right there. And if that's something that does not get repaired and replaced, that's money that will just continue to fall, and it will eventually be gone. Anyone else? Any questions?
So we're going to have a resolution coming up in a few minutes in reference to the governor's proposal for the personal property business tax. What you're saying is we can't afford any more losses.
I have spoke with the mayor about this. We've worked in conjunction with this for a while. I gave him all the numbers he needed. I'm totally against it. The Assessors Association in Indiana, we're against it. I actually haven't found anyone that likes this idea besides the governor himself. I don't know what their thought is, but for other counties, you know, other areas that have all this chance that they can make it up in other places, well, then that might be okay for them. The city doesn't have that luxury. Now, in the county, you can see we can fluctuate, change tax rates a little bit. The city doesn't have that luxury. It would hit the city tremendously hard to lose that AV for personal property. We have a lot of money in personal property. I mean, almost 10% of your assessed value is personal property. I don't think you could stand to do without 10% of your budget. And quite frankly, those people are paying the entire tax rate. They're not hitting tax caps. They don't have homesteads. There's a lot of money being generated right there.
Can you give me a definition of undue harm? No one else seems to in the state, so I was just kind of hoping you might.
I'm not sure as it relates to this. I really wish that the state would kind of ask those people in which have to enforce this what they think about it. Because every year the state gives us a set of guidelines. Like, for instance, every year they'll change the cost tables I use to value things. One year it's this, one year it's that. Now I have to kind of equalize that every year. So every year I have to go in and redistribute everything all over the place. Or one year it costs, 5% less than it did the year before. Well, that's money they take right off my assessed value. If I don't go in and do something to neighborhoods with that, then we would just lose 5%. We can't stand to lose 5%. We have to do everything we can to protect it. We have to, I work in conjunction with the city inspector's office all the time. I get all the reports because I want to make sure every single penny we should be putting on the books, we are putting on the books. We work diligently. I have a full-time field agent. I have a great staff that works with us. I mean, we get calls all the time from people in the city and in the county telling us what's going on. Did you know my neighbor built this new pole barn? No, I'll be out there today. I'll go pick that up. So if you don't get a permit, doesn't matter. I'll still find it. Someone will tell on you, and we will be out there. So, I do my best to protect the tax base for you. That's my job. I also protect the taxpayer themselves. It's a delicate dance, yeah. But it works.
And we appreciate that, but it also points to the need. We need to be vigilant ourselves through our permit process.
Absolutely.
One of the ways you red flag things, so we need to be vigilant ourselves in terms of that.
Yes,
some
absolutely.
Some people just think that's a nuisance that we're just out there trying to.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why
permits
fee,
but
are important.
Reason for it.
It's not just make sure I can pick it up on the tax rolls. You know, you're wanting to make sure people build things up
sure.
to code, and you have reasons why you do what you do. It's not just about assessed valuation, but that's a nice added benefit.
Other questions, comments? You've given us a lot of information, and I would imagine there'll be some questions as we really look through these figures more closely. But
well, I would welcome any of you at any time to come to my office. If you have any questions, I can kind of sit down and kind of help you understand anything I've given you or, let you know anything that I have.
Well, it's an interesting presentation, and you've got a civic club or something. I've already got Kathy invited to Civitan, I think, in a couple of weeks. Because I think people really, it's a complex subject of why tax rates fluctuate. When you really start to get into the minutiae of it, you understand it's not because we're up here wildly spending money and the tax rate therefore goes up. There's a lot that goes into it. And so I appreciate you bringing this information to us.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate
Thank you so much.
It.
Thank you. Excellent. Then we are back to other items of new business. We have Ordinance 5-2014, additional appropriation from edit to NDOT and SME for $9,924.06. We are ready for first reading.
Make a motion for first reading of Ordinance 5-2014.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilman Sebring, second by Councilmember Rose for first reading of Ordinance 5-2014.
Ordinance 5-2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing section 123 in the amount of $9,904 from edit for repayment to NDOT 20% SX project SME for Universal Scientific Crossing.
Discussion.
Call for the question.
One thing that we do need a public hearing on this, so. Okay, so as we go through this, just understand there'll be a public hearing at our next meeting should this proceed past first reading. So, ready for first reading then.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, the first reading is adopted by a vote of 6-0. And let's say a public hearing will be at our next meeting at 5:45. Sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then we have.
It's already done.
It's already done. Good. Then we have Resolution 1-2014. This was added to your agenda. Ready for a motion.
Make a motion to read Resolution 1-2014.
Second.
Okay, a motion made by Councilmember Rose, second by Councilmember Sebring for first reading, or not first reading, for adoption of Resolution 1-2014.
Resolution number 1-2014, a joint resolution of the Common Council of the City of Independence Corporation regarding the proposed implementation of the property. Whereas Governor Mike Pence has proposed eliminating the business personal property tax as one of the top priorities on the agenda, and whereas business personal property tax collection statewide account for about $1 billion funding for local government schools, and whereas business personal property tax represents 8.2% of the census valuation of $1 million of its property tax levy, whereas business personal property tax represents 20.1% of the community schools assessed valuation, $1,853,950 property tax. Whereas the City of Vincennes and Vincennes Community Schools cannot afford additional revenue loss without severe cuts to services provided our residents and students. Whereas quality public services and schools are critical to economic development in our community, whereas there is no systemic surplus in the budget to replace lost revenue. As evidenced by state revenues lagging behind, lagging budget forecasts, causing the state to implement a series of spending cuts at levels below what was. Whereas eliminating business personal property from the valuation will cause a shift in real property tax. Any properties currently below the circuit breaker and or lead to increased personal income tax. Whereas one option being considered is to allow county option income taxes to make up for the elimination of the personal property tax. Counties against one another and resulted in further disparity in local option income taxes in terms of impact citizens' decisions to live in. Whereas, depending on what survey is considered, Indiana already ranks in the top 5 or 10 states with regard to overall tax climate. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, and Vincennes Community School Corporation that we oppose the elimination of personal property tax without a sustainable replacement of revenue lost, not further crippled local government and schools, and not burden Knox County wage earners whose income already lags behind the average in the state of Indiana, which in turn lags behind the national average per capita income. Resolution would be effective upon passage passed here tonight at the school board for their consideration.
Very good. Discussion.
This is one of those things when, like, you know, theoretically when you make an argument like this, hey, everything sounds great. You know, you're gonna eliminate this. Business will be booming, and look, hey, you're going to have this extra money coming in. The problem is when you realistically look at this and you look at the numbers that we've been given and you look at some of the things that we would be, I mean, we would just be absolutely just devastated with this. And, you know, we've been responsible in our cuts. Our departments have been very responsible in our cuts. I mean, we just can't afford this as a city. And, I mean, we've got to let our voices be heard, let them be known. I mean, if they hear them, that's great. But, I mean, we need to make sure that we do what we can to let our opinion be known here, because this is something that, you know, hey, it might sound good, but when you really look at the numbers, it doesn't work for us as a city. And it doesn't work at all.
I joked a while ago with Kathy as to her definition of undue harm, because that's what the governor said. He will not pass undue harm onto the cities or towns. Indianapolis Star recently ran an editorial, and their numbers were just a little bit different than what is on here, but it showed Vincennes City, $1.2 million. Vincennes Community School Corporation, $1.1 million. The Vincennes Township Fire Department, the TIF zones, $435,000 on one of them, and some odd amount for the other one, almost $500,000 between the two. My question is, what is undue harm? Because I'm going to tell you now, if we take out 18% of the Vincennes City budget, that's going to hurt folks, and we don't have it to take out, period. And what this does, and I've argued with a good friend of mine about this a while back, what this does is, it, although it sounds great on paper that you're taking away taxes of a business, what that's going to do is the seven of us sitting up here are going to pass increases of taxes onto you. It's going to be a tax increase at the end of the day on the citizens, because there's no way in the world we can absorb $1 million hit. There's just not. So although I would love to know what undue harm in the state legislature's mind is, undue harm for us is anything. And they don't have skin in this game, kids. They have no skin in this game at all, because it's not going to hurt the state one bit, but it's going to crush cities and towns and every taxing unit. I stand firmly against the elimination of the business personal property tax.
Other discussion? I would concur with that, and every association that is representing counties and cities and schools and any local government entity, all of the associations have come out against this, and we should not underestimate the devastation it would cause to public education in this community and communities throughout the state. So you know, be sympathetic with the governor's intention to make the state more attractive to business, although we already rank way up there in that category currently. To devastate public education, to have not just our community but communities throughout the state that will have to cut law enforcement, fire personnel, because those are our two largest departments in terms of money. When you talk about cuts of this size, they would not be overlooked. We just can't have it. So I'm delighted that the school corporation, Superintendent Parsley, is working with us, and the school board will have a joint resolution and hopefully send a message. I think our own local elected representatives in the legislature seem to be on our side of this issue, Republican and Democrat both, but we need to send a message to the folks that run the legislature, which in this state, primarily the donut counties around Marion County, let's face it. That's where the impetus seems to be coming from, and maybe they can afford it with their assessed valuations and so forth. We can't. So, any other discussion? Then I would call for the question.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Oh, just to clarify, yes is we are against.
A yes vote is for the resolution, okay, which expresses our opposition.
Just checking.
Very, very good. Right.
Then the answer is yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 1-2014 has been adopted by a 6-0 vote and will now be referred to the school board for adoption. Ready for the claims.
Make a motion to pay claims in amount of $406,412.76.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Councilmember Rose, seconded by Councilmember Sebring to pay the claims.
Did you say it?
Roll call.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, miscellaneous. Anything
else? I have.
You realize one thing about this. Now we act like, or we do act like, we know what the hell we're talking about. But the big boys up at Indianapolis, I mean, they've got more muscle out here someplace. And all we can do is probably do the best we can to find the right answers for the population out here. But do you really know all the facts, Mr. Brink? Do you? Oh, you don't. Thank you.
Okay.
Items.
Mike, I just wanted to point out one thing. I've been spending a little bit of time out at the pet port, and I just wanted to say a public thank you to Bill Cleveland Pest Control. Bill spent a ton of personal time out there spraying, taking care of some of the rodents that were living there. And so I just really wanted to say thank you to Bill and all of his staff.
Okay. And I would like to... we had a Science Olympiad regional competition at Vincennes University Saturday, and I'd like to commend Lincoln High School and Rebay High School for participating. Both the school members received some nice Olympic-sized medals for their scientific and mathematics prowess, so we certainly salute those competitors, and Rebay is going on to the state competition, so we certainly congratulate them. Anything else to come before us?
On a positive note, I feel that if enough councils did what we did tonight and kind of flex our little muscles, I think enough will be heard up in Indianapolis. So hopefully we see this, and we've seen it from other places, so hopefully this is something that we continue to see.
Well, the good news is actually that lots of contact with elected representatives in the legislature have already caused this proposal to get watered down from the original proposal. And while it might be tempting to declare victory because they're just apparently at this point anyway preparing to pass a little toe in the door type of thing compared to the original proposal of just getting rid of it, the record shows that once they get their toe in the door on something like this, they usually proceed to eliminate the whole thing. So I think we have to stamp this thing out, even the toe in the door type of thing. So I think you're right that our adoption of this and multiplied by communities and school boards and county councils and so forth throughout the state is making an impact. We have to watch this very closely because we're still digesting the impact of the tax caps, which have been very difficult to digest, and we just can't afford another hit. So by that brings us to a point that we need the public out there. You know, sometimes a member of the public has more clout than we do, so feel free to contact your elected representative, let them know your feelings on this. Anything else to come before us? We'll want again commend the scouts for being with us tonight. Feel free to come back and see us again. If you have any questions, we'll be available after the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. We stand adjourned.